The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
The loving thing to do is just to believe your neighbor. Love hopes your neighbor is being honest. 1 Corinthians 13 also says that love keeps no record of wrongs suffered. So you can't hold a grudge. You can't, 1977, that guy, my donkey died when he was watching it, and I wouldn't trust him with anything now. No, you got to accept it. Can't hold it against him, and you need to just move on and love.
Our culture is quick to assume the worst of others, but Scripture states that love believes and hopes. In today's message, Pastor Dan will encourage listeners to give people the benefit of the doubt when applicable. Of course, we know that some situations are scarred by previous sins, but even in our worst state, Jesus still loves and desires relationship with us. This is a high calling that can only be made possible through the Holy Spirit. How can you show greater love by your hope and belief of others in your life? Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus, chapter 22, for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
If you owned livestock, you had a responsibility to keep your livestock out of someone else's field or vineyard. You couldn't make excuses if your livestock got loose. You couldn't say, "Well, I didn't know my sheep got loose and went out into your field. I had no idea that they were loose." You couldn't say, "Well, you left your gate open. If you would have shut my gate, my sheep couldn't have gotten into your yard, but because you left your gate open, that's how they got it. It's your fault because you left your gate open." Now, you have to take personal responsibility. You have to take personal responsibility for your animals. If you're a pet owner, take responsibility for your animals. Don't assume that people that don't have pets want your pet coming up to them and licking them. That drives me crazy. "Oh, he's just going to lick you. This is why I don't own dogs, because I don't want a dog licking me. And you're volunteering your dog to lick me." Or clean up after your pet. Don't let your pet go into someone else's property. Look at verse 5. If your animal grazes someone else's field, verse 5 again, feeds on another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his vineyard. You must make full restitution. Whatever your livestock devoured, you need to replace it, and you replace it with the best of your field and the best of your vineyard. Not the worst. Not like, "Well, I'll give them all this rotten fruit that I'm not going to eat anyways." You know? No, you're going to give him the best of your crops. Even if they didn't eat the best of his crops, you give the best of your crops from your field. You make restitution from the best. Now, again, this was an agrarian society. You need to understand here, it's an agrarian economy. They grew their crops to eat, to provide for their families, food for their families, and they grew crops to sell for money to live off of. This was their livelihood. And now, because you didn't keep an eye on your livestock, your animals wandered into their fields and ate all their crops. Now their family's in crisis. Now their family doesn't have food to eat, or now they don't have food to sell you know, and now you've harmed their business. And so what do? You restore to them from your own crops what was lost because of your livestock. You suffer the loss instead of your neighbor. You essentially transfer that hardship to yourself. Again, this is the principle of personal responsibility and making things right. Making things right. If you damage someone else's property, you don't leave that on them. You make it right. And you assume responsibility for it. And you pay for it to make it right. You don't just leave that broken fence, let's just go and he's got to pay for that. Which is what our tendency is, isn't it? Well, maybe he didn't see it. And we can get away with it. And now this guy's left with a bill to make this repair. No, you offer. You own up to it. You fess up to it. Hey, I did this and I need to pay for it and take care of it. So that's what he says here. And you do it out of the best of your own vineyard here. Now he goes on. Verse 6. If fire breaks out and catches in thorns, so that stacked grain, that would be the harvested grain, or standing grain that's still in the field, or the field itself is just consumed by the fire, he who kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. Okay, so let's say the country to the north of the United States has a fire going. And that fire spreads over to the United States and causes respiratory problem for all of us. And now we have to pay a copay. Or let's say you start a little fire in your backyard to roast marshmallows with your kids and make s'mores. And then you go in for the evening and you forget to extinguish the fire. And the wind kicks up and a little ember blows over into the neighbor's yard and catches their yard on fire. Well, that's what he's describing here. You've started a fire for some reason, maybe to cook something, or maybe you're just burning things because it's a Saturday and you like to burn stuff on Saturdays or whatever. And your fire spreads to your neighbor's property and it catches their stacked grain. Again, this is an agrarian society. That's their food to eat for the rest of the season until the next harvest time, or that's their inventory for their business, and you caught it on fire by being careless and negligent, and you destroy their crops, and now they've got to wait until next season, next harvest time, to harvest another crop. Again, you've destroyed all the inventory in their business. You've destroyed their business. Well, you must take responsibility and make restitution for their loss of inventory, which means you give them your inventory from your farm, from your fields. You make it right by transferring that hardship that you've caused back onto yourself, and you suffer the loss that you created by your own negligence. And you give them, again, the best of your crops to them. So now they've got the best, and all of their supplies are replenished. All of their inventory is replenished. They've got all the food they need to feed their family until next harvest season. But now you have taken that hardship on yourself because of your own negligence. It kind of sounds a little like the gospel in the sense that we were negligent, but Jesus Christ came and took all of the hardship onto himself on the cross for our negligence. And he suffered in our place for our stupidity, for the things that we've done wrong. Now, because of these laws that we're looking at and this idea of personal responsibility and making full restitution to others, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be real careful, right? You're going to be real careful. If you've got a fire in the backyard, you're going to be real careful to keep an eye on that fire, extinguish it at the end of the night so that it can't spread. You're going to be real careful to keep your animals in your yard and not allow them to wander over into the neighbor's field or vineyard and eat their crops. So now two verses you can jot down if you're taking notes here with this verse 6. The first one is Judges chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Judges chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. There, Samson intentionally torches the fields of the Philistines and sets them on fire. So that's one example. A second example we find in 2 Samuel chapter 14, 2 Samuel chapter 14, verses 30 to 31. There, Absalom, David's son, remember, Absalom had a big falling out with his father David, and then when he's invited back to Jerusalem, his father just doesn't speak to him for a couple years and ignores him. And Absalom tries to make an appointment with Joab, who was one of David's advisors, and Joab just, you know, blows off his text messages. And Absalom gets angry and sets Joab's field on fire. And now Joab returns his call all of a sudden, right? So those are two examples that we find in the Bible of that would apply to this law. Now look at verse 7. If a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, I love the old King James there. It says money or stuff, right? They had stuff back then, just like we have stuff today that we got to keep and put somewhere. And so you deliver it to your neighbor, money or articles to keep, and it's stolen out of the man's house. If the thief is found, he shall pay double. If the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges of the city to see whether he has put his hand into his neighbor's goods. Now, they didn't have banks back then. They didn't have, you know, safety deposit boxes. They didn't have fireproof safes or anything like that that you could put in your house. They didn't have many storage facilities where you can store your stuff. So if you were traveling, you're going on a trip, your family's going to Florida for the week, you would deliver your money and your stuff to your neighbor for safekeeping while you were gone. But again, in verse 7, you've delivered your money and your stuff to your neighbor. You've gone on your trip. While you're out of town, someone breaks into his house and steals your money and steals your stuff. He gets caught. He's got to pay double for it.
We'll return to Pastor Dan's message in just a moment. First, Pastor Dan would like to tell you about the new Calvary Chapel Ellicott City app.
We recently launched an app for our church, and we're really excited about it. It's designed to keep you connected to our radio ministry, Ring of Truth, as well as to our church, Calvary Chapel. And get this, we have over 1,200 sermons on the app. The app is super convenient, it's easy to use, and allows you to listen to Bible studies anytime, anywhere. So download the app right now, search for Calvary Chapel Ellicott City in your app store, or just follow the links on our website at calvaryec.com.
What a great way to stay connected to Scripture. Now, back to today's message on Ring of Truth.
In verse 8, though, again, same situation. You deliver your money and your stuff to your neighbor for safekeeping. You go on your trip. While you're gone, someone breaks into your neighbor's house, steals your money, steals your stuff. This time, the guy's not caught. So you come back from your trip, and your neighbor says, I have some bad news. You know all that money and stuff that you gave me for safekeeping? Well, somebody broke into my house and they took all of your money and all of your stuff. Remarkably, they didn't take my money and my stuff, but they took your money and your stuff. And they never caught the guy. How do you know that your neighbor is telling you the truth? How do you know he didn't just steal your money and your stuff for himself? Well, verse 8 tells us, in that case, you and your neighbor would go before the judges of the city and the judges would investigate the case. The judges would question the neighbor to determine if the neighbor is being truthful or lying. Now, the word judges here, it's the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohim, which elsewhere is translated God or gods. And so the judges were divine representatives of God. In fact, in Psalm 82, verse 1, it says, God judges among the gods, or God judges among the judges, is the idea. So if you're standing before the judges, they're God's appointed judges, and God is judging among them. He is guiding them in giving them wisdom so that they would make a right judgment here. And remember, Hebrews says nothing is hidden from God. Everything is naked and open before him, with which we have to do. And so they would determine if the neighbor is being truthful or not. Verse 9 says, for any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or clothing, or for any kind of lost thing which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whomever the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. So in this case, if you have two people that are in a dispute over a particular item, a piece of property, whether that is a donkey or an ox or an article of clothing or some other thing, they both are claiming ownership. They both are saying, that's mine. One of them, obviously, is lying. And so they shall be brought before the judges, and whoever the judges determine is lying will pay double to his neighbor the value of that item that they're disputing over. So if you're lying, do you really want to go before the judges of the city and risk being condemned to pay double? Again, these are meant to deter people from doing these things. Verse 10. If a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep, and it dies, or is hurt, or driven away, no one seeing it, then an oath of the Lord shall be between them both that he has not put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept that, and he shall not make it good. So you leave your animal, again, you're going on a trip, so you leave your livestock with your neighbor, and it dies, or it gets hurt, or it runs off, and it can't be found. Verse 11, the neighbor makes an oath, and he swears that, he was taking care of the animals, and he doesn't know what happened that caused it to run off or to die. It just was an unfortunate thing. And look what it says again. At the end of verse 11, it says, you have to take his word for it, and you have to accept it, and you can't hold a grudge against him. I know that guy is lying to me. I can't prove it, but I know he did something to my donkey. I know he's been negligent. No, you got to accept it. Just have to accept his word. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love believes all things, and love hopes all things. The loving thing to do is just to believe your neighbor. Love hopes your neighbor is being honest. 1 Corinthians 13 also says that love keeps no record of wrongs suffered. So you can't hold a grudge. You can't, 1977, that guy, my donkey died when he was watching it, and I wouldn't trust him with anything now. No, you got to accept it, can't hold it against him, and you need to just move on and love. That's hard, isn't it? That's why we need the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Where does that love come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. How am I going to forgive this guy? The Holy Spirit is going to do it in me. He gives me love for this person. Verse 12, moving on. You guys doing okay? But if in fact it is stolen from him, he shall make restitution to the owner of it. If he did steal it. If it is torn to pieces by a beast, then he shall bring it to you as evidence. and he shall not make good what was torn. So if he's watching your sheep and one of them gets attacked by a beast, by a lion maybe, and is killed, you're to take, it says, the torn pieces of the beast, you know, whatever is left over, and bring it to him as evidence that the animal was attacked and killed. You know, when I was about 6 years old, I had this neighbor that lived up the road from us. It was a little girl that was the same age as me. We went to school together. I don't remember her name, but I remember she had this little tiny baby duckling. And she went out of town for like a week and asked me if I would watch her duckling for her. Well, you guys are assuming it's a bad story. And so it was this little tiny baby duckling, and she had this little cage for it, and that little food bowl, and a little water bowl, and like a little thing to swim in inside this cage. And I would take this duck out at night, and while I watched TV, I'd hold this little duck, and I would sit on the floor with it, and I'd walk around our little living room, and I'd feed it and hold it. And sometimes I would go sit outside and would sit down in the grass with it, and it would just kind of, you know, waddle along all around. And I'm out there in the yard one day, and I'm sitting down, and it's right in front of me waddling around. And a dog came out of nowhere and snatched it up and ran down the street with it and killed it and dropped it in the middle of the street, like down the road. Now, we weren't Christians at the time, and my dad just buried the duck in the backyard. Now that I've read this, we should have saved the carcass of that little torn duckling and given it to that little girl when she came back from her vacation as proof of what really, I'm sure she would have been satisfied to see the torn carcass of a duckling. That's biblical to do that. So again, here, you're taking care of your neighbor's livestock. A sheep gets attacked by an animal, gets killed, you bring the carcass to your neighbor so they can see for themselves what happened. Now, why is this important? Because it's going to eliminate any doubt in their mind. Because if you just say, hey, one of your sheep got killed while you were gone, they're going to wonder, is he telling me the truth? Or did he have lamb chops for dinner? And he's just saying that. And so by bringing the carcass, as gross as that is, you're eliminating any question in their mind. Now, someone might say, well, I shouldn't have to bring the carcass. They should just trust me. They should just believe me. If I tell them that one of their sheep got killed by a lion, I shouldn't have to prove that to them. My word should be good enough for them. Well, again, you're doing this not because you're not trustworthy, but just to eliminate any possible room for doubt. So it's just a good idea to do it so that there can be no, you know, division in your friendship with your neighbor. So verse 14, and if a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it becomes injured or dies, the owner of it, not being with it, he shall surely make it good. So if you borrow something from your neighbor and it breaks while you're using it, you make it good. You repair it or you replace it. So if you borrow your neighbor's chainsaw and it fries while you're using it, it seizes up, you don't call your neighbor and say, hey, your chainsaw's not working. What'd you loan me this piece of junk for? No, you go get it fixed or you go buy him a new one and you bring the new one back to his house and say, hey, your chainsaw quit while I was using it, so I got you a new one.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
Ring of Truth just brought you another great verse-by-verse teaching with Pastor Dan Sexton. Aren't you glad you stuck around to listen? We trust today's words touched your life in a very real and personal way. Pastor Dan has been staying in the book of Exodus with its stories of redemption and so much more. You don't want to miss a single episode. And if by chance you already have, just go to calvaryec.com to catch up. While you're there, check out our app to get other messages. Follow us on Facebook and iTunes too. If you don't know that much about us or what we believe, make sure to visit the About tab. It will fill you in on what we're all about here. Are you in the Maryland area? Come visit us either Sunday morning or Thursday evening. Times can be found at calvaryec.com, so make sure to go there now. Meeting you face-to-face would be such a privilege. Our time with you has come to an end today, and so for now we say goodbye. But before we go, would you give us a call at 410-491-4592 and let us know how this program spoke to you today? Again, that's 410-491-4592. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. Thank you from Columbia, Maryland, for listening to Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft and am. Well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.